Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Habs and Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 1, season 5 of Habs and Minded. It's Patrick Bexell and I'm joined by the ever-present Matt Drake over in New Brunswick.
Yes, sir. Episode 1, season 5. Where'd the time go?
And exactly, it's incredible, and we had some sort of podcast that we tossed out every now and then before that as well, but like organized, this is season 5. Really interesting. It's going to be a hell of a season, maybe not the way we want it to be, but it seems
the good news there is, like, based on projections right now, people have them as potentially being the third worst team in the league, which once again puts you in the draft lottery, which, again, you know, you wouldn't have the best odds at that point, but you got a shot at Connor Bedard. You got a shot maybe at Matvei Michkov. I mean, yeah, you got a shot at somebody very good. It's a very strong draft. So, I mean, if this is a bad season, I think that's not the worst thing for us, right?
This is the top end season. The draft we just had was a depth season. This is a top end season. So wouldn't be the worst, but it might give us even more gray hairs than we're used to. But let's start with what's been happening the last couple of days anyway. Transpiring was the word I was looking for, obviously. Free agency so far, Matt, what's your reaction?
Pretty underwhelming on the Habs side. But given some of the deals that you're seeing out there, like, there's been a few people that have been overpaid. I'm kind of glad that they weren't going out and really shopping for players, because, like you mentioned, we just talked about it, right? Next season's not supposed to be a great one. This isn't the year for you to go out and try to make any big signings. So, you know, what do we got? Basically just the AHL signings, right?
Indeed. And we have seen these payments. Johnny Hockey was rumored to have tossed down 10 mil in order to go to Columbus. I'm not sure how true that rumor is, but there's been obviously for very good players, there's been a lot of money tossed out, but there's also been a little bit of a toss out, like the normal ones that where Montreal would be involved with the prior management. You give this old experienced guy $4 million for 4 years, and the last 2 years is going to be bonkers in many ways. Like you don't want them, and it's tough to get rid of. And we have this person that is tough to get rid of right now, and we've seen other teams give up players for nothing or even paying to take them off them in many ways. So I'm really happy with the fact that Montreal hasn't really gone out and done an all-in and trying to shorten this revamp or how we want to put it. But for the person that is Jeff Petrie, I feel sorry because he obviously doesn't want to be part of I would assume Canada rather than Montreal in general. You also have to see what the management is doing. They're saying we're not going to give him away for free, even if everyone knows that wants to leave. And it might be smarter to shop him around the trade deadline again.
Yeah, I mean, you look at especially the teams that are ready to compete are the ones that are paying to get rid of contracts, right? You saw the Leafs do it. You even saw the Senators do it. Vegas give away Max Pacioretty for nothing. I mean, I don't think that the Montreal Canadiens are in a position to do that, right? And what would it do if you did? All it would do is it would free up that salary, and then you're going to spend that salary on someone. And again, when I look at some of the deals that were given out this year, like Ben Chiarot got $4.75 million per year AAV for 4 years in Detroit. That is a ridiculous overpay. How good does that trade look for Kent Hughes now, going back to the fact that he got a whole bevy of assets, including a first-round pick next year, for Ben Chiarot, and now Ben Chiarot's not even on the Florida Panthers anymore, and he's getting overpaid by a completely different team. So what would you do if you did get rid of Jeff Petrie? Let's say you went to Detroit and you said, okay, we'll give him to you for free, future considerations. Seems to be the most popular trade piece in the NHL right now. What would you do with that money? Are you going to go out and overpay a Ben Chiarot? I mean, there's not a whole lot left on the market other than John Klingberg, who hasn't signed yet, apparently. I just don't think that for Montreal, it makes sense to part ways with a legitimate asset in this current market where people are paying to get rid of players. Like you said, the deadline might be a better time. I think for sure there's going to be at least a few teams that are going to be kind of desperate around deadline time to add a legitimate, you know, top four ready defenseman to their pool. And I think at that point, you might get a better price, because in this market, people are paying to get rid of contracts. Wait until the market turns a little bit, which I think it should before the deadline.
Indeed. And you might need Jeff Petrie there, because there are a couple of new kids coming into the team as well. Goulet, Norlander, Harris, you know, there are a few of them coming in, and they're going to need some calm presence. It might not be the most exciting play for Jeff Petrie. But on the other hand, for Montreal, they are there to look what's best for the club, not for what's best for the individual player, even if you obviously need to take the player into consideration as well, because we all been there. We haven't really been happy at our jobs, and we don't do the job perfectly at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kent Hughes, his messaging has been really great. He said, we're going to try to accommodate Jeff Petrie, but we got to find a deal that's right for the Montreal Canadiens. And I think that's the issue, is that right now, because in the market, like if you look again, let's go back to the Pacioretty thing, right? Vegas gave Pacioretty away for nothing just so they could clear out cap space because they had to, right? If that's the market right now, then any deal that he's trying to strike with another team, they're going to be going and they're going to be pointing to other deals around the league. And they're going to be saying, well, look what happened here. Look what happened here. You want us to take this salary? You're going to have to give us something to take this salary. And he's going, well, no, I don't have to do that. Because what is the cap space going to do for Montreal? Again, you could go out, you could overpay somebody else that's currently sitting as a free agent on the market, or you could just play the year with free cap space and not get anything for your asset. I mean, again, I think the market will turn by a deadline time, and that's going to be the better time to move him. I mean,
it could also be a market around the start of the season where injuries, or you've seen that some players that you thought was going to be around can't really make it. They're not as good anymore, or hasn't reached the potential that I thought you thought they would. So there are two sort of bigger days coming up now when free agency has sort of died down and we're going into the summer doldrums of the NHL. Obviously PK Subban is out there as well, and you have to mention to Mark Bergevin and say that he traded Subban at a peak, he traded Pacioretty at a peak. So there are these things that, you know, will go on, and he might not have been the best at any given time, but he's been very good with some of the big trades.
Yeah, I would honestly, I tweeted it out the other day. You got to give him a bit of a shout out, man. As much as I was not a big fan of Bergevin, his ability in some of those trades was bar none. I mean, particularly the Pacioretty trade, getting Nick Suzuki, and now Pacioretty's being given away for absolutely nothing. And you're 100% right. The Subban trade, same deal, right? He got a better return for Subban than Nashville did. And now New Jersey, who didn't give up a whole lot to get Subban in the first place, they're not even signing him. I will say this, though. If they can find a trade before the season for Jeff Petrie, and it's the right trade that gets them some assets and frees up some cap space, I would be 100% on board bringing in PK Subban if he's willing, and only if he's willing, to sign a team-friendly deal. A one-year deal for a low AAV. You can't give him term and dollar because you don't want to lock yourself in with a guy who's over 30 when, as you mentioned, we've got a lot of young defensemen coming up. But at the same time, you do need that steady presence, right? So if you can find the right deal for Jeff Petrie, I would be very interested in bringing back PK Subban. I don't think he's going to cost a lot, and I think he'd probably be open to a one-year deal, in which case he'd have a chance to prove himself either to Montreal or somebody else in the league that he deserves another contract. So it's an option that's out there, but
even you might toss him at the deadline again.
They might toss him at the deadline again as well, right? It's there's a lot of options that would open up for you, but I think, you know, that is something that me as a fan of PK Subban, I was a big fan of his when he was here in Montreal. I would like to see it just for my own purposes. So I'm a little bit selfish on that front, to be honest, but again, I think it opens up a lot of options for you. But the thing is, in order for that to happen, they probably have to find a deal for Petrie first. And it doesn't seem like that's going to materialize yet. Like you said, maybe at the start of the season, or we might be waiting until the deadline. So,
And I think Dallas is a little bit at the same hint with Carl Klingberg as well, when they don't really know what, I mean, like, obviously he's approached free agency, but there's been so many contracts around, so there's not much money left for anyone to bring him on. And he obviously wants term.
Yeah.
And
he wants term and dollar, right? Yeah. He wants to be paid like a top defenseman, and he probably deserves it. But again, like, where are you going to get that? Right. There's especially if I was Klingberg and I was looking at, you know, Ben Sherratt's AAV at 4.75, I'd be like, okay, so what am I worth? 10?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Montreal did sign some players. Anthony Richards, always have Richard on the rocket, right? Mitchell Stevens, and I'm stoked with Madison Bowie, but he spelled Bowie the wrong way. Otherwise, you would have the intro song, you know, "Let's Dance" or whatever you want when he's on the ice. But also, they extended Belzil, Teasdale, and Schnarr, and I've actually forgotten that Schnarr was a deadline acquisition.
Yeah, out of all those, I mean, the one that I like the most is Teasdale. I'm a big Teasdale fan. I watch a lot of Q, and I watched him quite a bit when he was still there as well. I'm a big fan of his. I think injuries have kind of derailed him a little bit, but he has an outside chance of eventually becoming like a bottom six player for the Montreal Canadiens. So if he can stay healthy this year, you know, you might even see him get a couple of games with the Habs at some point if injuries happen. So I like what they've done. I like that they're beefing up the AHL team. I like that they're going to have a chance to compete a little bit again. And but for me, the number one, the one that I like the most is Teasdale. I like that they're keeping him around. I really do believe in him, you know, carving himself out a bottom six role at some point.
And the two signings that were expected was the two first rounders, Juraj Slafkovský and Meshar. Interesting things. There's been a lot of talk about where they will play, even from the management and even from themselves. And it show. I think for both of them, it shows maturity, because they're both looking at, you know, there are options, and obviously there are places we want to play, but there is also options where what is best for me to develop as well. And personally, I think the fact that both the team and Slavkovsky has mentioned AHL is positive.
Well, they've both played against men. So I think that the standing belief is that they will continue to play against men. Either you let them go and play again in Europe. Slavkovsky could hypothetically go back to the Liga. I think we were talking about it before, right? And we're not too sure what the contract status is for Meshar in Slovakia, but he could potentially get himself a contract in Europe as well. I think the likelihood is they will both get an opportunity in the NHL early on, and maybe down to the AHL. We do know that they both do have CHL rights. So Juraj Slavkovsky, his rights are held by the Erie Otters, and Meshar, his rights are held by the Kitchener Rangers. Erie was not a great team last year. Kitchener was not a great team either. I think if either of them were to go down there, though, it's a step down in competition for them. You know, Slavkovsky was playing at the Olympics and the World Championships. I don't think that sending him to the CHL is a fantastic idea. Of course, it'd be fun to watch him go there and dominate. He's a big dude that has played against men, that has played big games in big tournaments. It would be interesting.
Come up big in those games as well.
And come up big in those games too. It would be interesting to watch him go down there and see, like, you know, can he score 200 points, right? But what is the benefit to his development? I think for him, having already played against men, I think continuing to play against men is the best thing to do. So I think really they need to look at three avenues. Do we send him back to Europe? Do we keep him here? And if we keep him here, is it AHL or is it NHL? I think both of them will start in the NHL, though. I think we're going to see at least, you know, a 9 games from both of them before they go anywhere.
I'm a little bit on the other side here. I think Europe is hard for both of them. I think for me, Slavkovsky is the decision between NHL and AHL, and I think Meshar is OHL and AHL. That's how I see it. I wouldn't be against having both of them in Montreal, but I could see Meshar playing in the A and Slavkovsky in the end. It's that bit. But if you can get those two also to share an apartment and be comfortable and not having that homesickness and all that stuff that comes around with it, I can see the benefit of that. And then if Meshar has an unbelievable season in the AHL, I could also see that, you know, he is easy to bring up. On the other hand, I spoke with Matej from McKean's, and he's the Slovak scout for McKean's, and you know, he said OHL is probably the way to go for Meshar. I know Meshar has also said, I played against men and I want to continue to do that. And I can see that logic in a way. There's always this talk as well about, you know, different drink sizes and everything. And I think that's lazy. I think if you practice on one drink size 2 times a day, it's going to take, what, 2 weeks to get up to speed, maybe? I think it's tougher for many to swap between rink sizes, and that's what Slavkovsky has done in Liga, because
yeah,
Liga has you know, they're allowed to have a home ice advantage in many ways, including the size of the rink.
I can't speak for professional hockey players, right? I never played professional, but when I was a kid, I played a lot of competitive hockey, and we would switch rinks, right? Sometimes there was times where I would have to go and play on big ice versus playing on small ice. I found going from small ice to big ice was a lot tougher than going from big ice to small ice. Switching back and forth constantly is a challenge for anybody, right? Especially when you get to that big ice, the thing is, if you're used to having those close quarters, you know, your entire checking game changes. The angles that you take change. They become bigger. That you have to anticipate things a little bit further in advance on the big ice. Whereas on the small ice, you know, I kind of have a good idea of where somebody's going to be and where they can go from there. I think keeping them on the small ice instead of sending them back to the big ice is going to be better. Because yes, I do. I agree with you 100%. I think they'll adjust to the small ice quicker, but then sending them back to big ice is going to make them have to go readjust their games. And then you're going to see, like, maybe like if you do that, don't expect them to necessarily have the production that they were getting on the small ice. Right.
Especially if you go to a league like Liga, which is very low scoring and system played in many ways, where it will take time to score in under those circumstances. I think I think, as I said, I'm, you know, you put them in an apartment with or near some older gentleman in the organization that can swoop in and check on them every now and then. And they seem like good kids, so I'm not that worried. But and then you can alternate between AHL and NHL as much as you want. I'm not sure that Meshar will be on the ice for the home opener, as an example. He might be in the stands and get the spotlight and all that, but I don't see him play in the NHL. I really don't. I'm not that convinced that he's ready for that yet. I'd love to be proven wrong. I'm not going to say that. So, but it also depends on the team that Montreal is going to ice.
The OHL is not a bad landing spot for Meshar. It's not, I'm not trying to say like that he's taking a step down in competition in a major way. I don't think the Slovakian men's league is going to be that far ahead of Canadian junior. It's still men though, right? So if he does go to Kitchener, we're looking for big production, right? We would be expecting a pretty significant bump. You're going from playing against men to playing against people your own age. The problem there is Kitchener was not that great last year. They finished what, seventh, I think, in their conference. So they made the playoffs, but they were sellers at the deadline. They sold Arbor Jacki to the Hamilton Bulldogs to get draft picks. So they're a team that's almost kind of not necessarily rebuilding, but retooling. Like, because you don't have, like, the timeline in junior is not the same as it is in the NHL. So you don't do necessarily a rebuild. You do a bit of a retool. You try to stack draft picks. You draft a bunch of young players out of Bantam, and then you try to get better as quickly as possible. Adding somebody like Meshar, who has professional hockey experience, would be a really good way for them to potentially take that next step and try to get into the top three, top four of the division, or the conference rather. I just don't know, because they have a few people that are gone. Last year, they were a team with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 rookies on it. Just among their forwards, they had another 2 rookies on defense as well. So 9 rookies total on your squad. They might be better next year, but they might also not be better next year. They still got to wait and see how those draft picks play out that they've got. I just wonder, what could we legitimately expect from Meshar on a team like that? Let's say they're middle of the road in the OHL and they finish somewhere around, I don't know, 5th, 6th in their division or their conference. How much can we expect from Meshar, right? How much can he elevate that team?
In some ways, you're just hoping for him to get traded into a better team for a long playoff run. But speaking about divisions, speaking about conferences, what's up with the Atlantic Division? Because things are happening. There are some, I mean, let's start with the most obvious one. Ottawa is going all in, what it seems.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Eugene Melnyk passes away and his daughters take over. And it's like they opened up the faucet for Pierre Dorion. They were like, okay, you can spend some money. And you see the difference. Like, I mean, there's been a lot of chatter about it online where people are like trying to take away credit from them or give them too much credit. It's like at the end of the day, these two college girls took over the team. And what they did was they turned on the faucet. You got to give them credit for that they actually just, you know, trusted their general manager and said, hey, we're going to let you spend some money this offseason. And the results, I think everybody would agree, Ottawa is going to be good next year. I tweeted this out and I don't know if this will happen, right? So I'm not predicting it, but I think it's possible that they finish ahead of Toronto.
Depending they on got the better. Goalie that
Toronto got worse,
have, right?
Toronto paid to get worse, right? Let's face it. Jack Campbell, I think obviously they couldn't sign that contract that Edmonton did. They couldn't give him that money, but Jack Campbell would have been a better option, I think, overall throughout the course of the regular season and even the playoffs than what they now have. I don't think Samsonov can do what Jack Campbell does. And I really don't think that Matt Murray can do what Jack Campbell does. So I do agree with the Leafs in terms of why they needed to get Matt Murray, but I just don't agree with the who. And I think when you look at Ottawa, they have a chance of finishing ahead of Toronto. They added goal scorers. They don't have an Austin Matthews, but they have an Alex DeBrincat, right? Alex DeBrincat, 40 goal scorer. I think there's a chance that they actually finish ahead of Toronto. And that to me, just as a Montreal Canadiens fan, you know, as an outsider, would be hilarious because of course I don't like either team, but it would be very funny to me if Ottawa managed to finish ahead of Toronto. And I think it's possible.
I mean, like Ottawa is the main team going up, and but we have one team really trailing down a little bit, and Montreal sits on their first round draft pick next year, and that's Florida. What's going on there?
I have no idea. I mean, they kind of went all in last year, right? Giving up as much as they gave up for Ben Chiarot, that was kind of, I think, that was their last
hurrah,
gasping breath of trying to get a Stanley Cup. I think you're going to see them on a downtrend now, and I think it's going to start this year. And I pray that it starts this year because, Lord, if that first overall, that first round pick that they gave us ends up being a lottery pick, man, what a good trade that's going to end up being for the Montreal Canadiens and moving Ben Chiarot.
Yeah, but even if they miss the playoffs, it's going to be, you know, big.
And yeah, they won't.
I can see Florida in the regard also that if it starts to go pear-shaped, they can be sellers at the deadline, and then it will go really south fast.
It could. It could, because, like, if they sell at the deadline, like, I don't see them selling at the deadline, though, is the problem, because they've already gone all in. So this isn't the year where you sell at the deadline because you don't have a first overall pick or a first round pick. So unless you're adding somebody else's first round pick to kind of get back what you lost, I don't see it. I don't see them selling. I see, if anything, I see them doing desperation ads, and they're going to put themselves in an even bigger hole that they can't climb out of. And I think their cup window is going to close after this year.
Yeah. And I totally agree with the cup window closing, but I also see might be smart getting more picks in as much as you can to maybe turn that rebuild into a retool rather than, because they have a core that is really good with Barkov leading them. You know, it's interesting. We all know Marchand will sign with Boston, but if you look at it, it's Tampa is going strong as always, more or less as we used to say. Toronto will probably be up there. Ottawa is going for a playoff spot, it seems. Florida is hanging on and being challenged a little bit, I think, from both. And I've seen two guys that probably going to go straight into Red Wings, Söderblom and Edvinsson. Big guys. One of them might actually become Rookie of the Year this year again. So they will sweep it up for another year after more excited at it this year. Could really happen. It's interesting. And they went sort of in as well. They pushed up towards the playoff spot rather than going all in, because they have this young core that is starting to really gel together, and it will be, that's a team I will look forward to actually watching next year.
Yeah, I mean, I clown on Detroit a little bit for the Chiarot signing. I really think that's a bad overpay, but you look at their roster overall, I think that's, they have a chance. I think for them, the home is probably going to end up being a wild card position, mm-hmm. but you know, I wouldn't sleep on them in the playoffs. They're young up front. They definitely have a lot of talent, and they could do some damage in the playoffs, right? They got goaltending too. I really like Nedeljkovic. I think that he's going to end up taking over the starting job there on a permanent basis, and he's going to do really well. Could be wrong about that, but look, they've got a solid team. Like their rebuild's coming along. I just think they overpaid on Ben Chiarot. I think they're going to regret that. I think that contract might be the one that holds them back in the short term, but I don't think it'll prevent them from getting into the playoffs. I think they have a very good chance of getting in this year. If not this year, then next year they could probably get in.
Yeah, and even Buffalo is taking small steps forward. We know that. So
small ones.
Yeah, but still forward rather than backwards. They sort of have to as well, because some of their players will have to start looking for other clubs or other teams sooner rather than later if it comes to it. Mm-hmm. But I think Montreal is going to end up at the bottom of that division again.
I think so too. I think the only way that that doesn't happen, the only way that they're not in the bottom of that division is if Carey Price shows up on day one and does Carey Price things all season long. They're just not there yet. They're not a playoff team yet. They sold off a lot of assets. You can't expect a kid in Juraj Slafkovský to show up and carry you to the playoffs. The only person that can carry this team to a playoff spot is Carey Price. And with this team, that's a Herculean task. I mean, you would need, you know, the Vezina Hart Trophy winning Carey Price to get into a wild card spot. So is that going to happen? Let's face it, probably and almost invariably not. Never say never, but probably never, right? We would need a Herculean performance from him, and it's just, we don't even know if he's going to be ready. So I think we got to prepare ourselves for, probably last place in that division. But then again, as we mentioned right off the top of the podcast, right, that's good news for Montreal because it's a very top heavy and star power draft coming up in 2023. You got a chance to add, you know, a franchise transforming player in that draft. So finishing in the bottom of the division and finishing, you know, in the bottom three or the bottom five is not the worst thing that could happen to this team.
Indeed. And there we have it. Matt is going to be back with a full season of bottom 6 minutes. It's going to be terrible bottom 6 minutes, but we're going to see them anyway or listen to them anyway, at least. Thank you guys.
I'll try not to fire any coaches, you know, early on in the season. We'll try to save that until later, or hopefully save it and not do it at all. Who knows?
Indeed. Let's we like what we have seen from San Luis right now, and be interesting to see whom he brings in for his assistant coaches roles. Looking forward, though, we will be back if something breaks with Jeff Petrie or other signings. We'll also be back with and then we have to start mentioning it now because it's going to be a list about 50 people. But the top 25 under 25 is coming up, and we look forward to participate with the community all through that time as well. Thank you guys for listening.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.